Greetings, humans. You have entered the Command Zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Command Zone. I'm your host, Jimmy Wong.
How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai.
And I'm Craig Blanchett.
What's up, Craig?
What up, now?
It's like you were just here. Actually, because we recorded two episodes in a row, you were just here.
You're still here.
You're still our guest. You are no longer special. We figured this one out last time. Sorry, but
he's almost like a co-host now. Because this is like 6 or 7 episodes you've been on.
It's true, actually. I think you've broken the record for most times guesting on the show, I guess.
Next time you see Kessler, just rub that in his face.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't care,
By the way, we're telling you to do that so that you guys go after each other next time we play.
Yeah, rub that in his face, then remind us that he's better than all of us at EDH.
And tell him how much we compliment him on a daily basis and want to be his ally just in general.
And then we'll shuffle up and play. It's going to be awesome.
Hey, Craig, are you going to Vegas this year, Craig?
I can't make it to Vegas this year.
So sad.
I know, it sucks. It's my
but we all
birthday.
Are, and it's going to be really fun. I'll send you a Snapchat of just me in a bath of cards.
I am excited to see what Modern
You're
Masters
gonna close
2
on, right?
holds.
Yeah, oh yeah, totally.
Okay.
I'm going to recreate that picture that the Rev tweeted at us from Breaking Bad.
Yes, just laying on a pallet of cards rather than money.
Exactly.
They're all going to be commons, everybody. Don't freak out.
Yeah. Well, commons, and maybe if you spot the one like Tarmogoyf in there.
There's like one Tarmogoyf.
Just one.
It's like 4 cards down in that third stack over there. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. So what's the topic today?
The topic is etiquette in EDH.
Ooh, that's a tongue twister.
So this is, you know, one of those hot button issues, something that gets talked about a lot. We'll go into it in a minute, though. I do want to go back to GP Vegas here.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because
we got to talk about this.
Yeah,
GP.
In case you didn't know, GP Vegas is going to be the biggest face-to-face gaming tournament in the history of the planet. They've already broken the record at this moment without, you know, they're still a month away for the biggest tournament in Magic tournament in history because they have that many pre-registrations. It's taking place May 28th to the 31st in Vegas. So what's happening is Jimmy and I are going to be there. Alex and Ben from the Masters of Modern podcast, our sister podcast, they're going to be there. Our buddies from the Five Commanders podcast, they're all going to be there. The guys from the Brainstorm Brewery podcast, they're all going to be there. The Reverend in Fuego from BJ Shea's Geek Nation is going to be there. BDM, Marshall, they're going to be there. I mean, everybody that you've heard of in the world of Magic, all of the guests that have been on our show, everybody's going to be in town for that. And one of the things we're doing
is a meetup. A big, fun, hey, let's hang out. Let's trade some cards. Let's play some games. Let's draft some cards. Craig, I'm so sorry, man. It's going to be a blast.
I really wish I could make it. I'm disappointed.
You're there in spirit, man.
We'll do it again around Comic-Con. I know Josh is excited to play with that table.
Oh yeah,
I'm excited to stay up all night for those black cards are awesome, but staying up all night is not.
It is not.
So... The gathering we want to host, which is in,
the
we're
magic,
putting
the
invite. Yeah, the magic.
I can't
the gathering.
You that joke.
Oh, God. Yeah. Whoops. I didn't even realize. So it's going to be. We're going to open it up to all of our listeners
and anyone just that wants to come hang out.
Yep. If you've never listened, well, you have to listen to the show to be hearing this right now. So you then therefore are a listener, and we're going to have prizes. Wizards has provided us with a bunch of Dragons of Darkir stuff. We've got what do we got? Fat packs, booster box. Some
play mats, some Funko Pop figures, dual decks, just all sorts of stuff. And we have stuff to give away. I want to unload the inventory at GP Vegas. There's no better place to do it.
Yeah, so
I mean, it's all about winning, right? That's what Vegas is
about.
That's
what Vegas is about. So the gathering, there's going to be prizes. We're going to play a ton of EDH. We're going to draft Conspiracy, mash it up probably with Masters of Modern. We're going to hang out, talk
Modern
stories.
And the Masters of Modern podcast.
Right,
too.
I always get that mixed up. And there'll be a bunch of us there. We're going to invite all those people we talked about earlier. All of you are invited. So the deal is, right now, tentatively, on Thursday, May 28th is when we want to have this gathering. It'll probably be in the evening. My guess is it'll start around 6-ish and go into the wee hours of the night because we're in Vegas. And
hopefully most people are flying in on Thursday
at some point to
play on Friday,
And if you haven't already made your arrangements, we're encouraging you to, you know, fly in on Thursday so you can come to this thing and, you know, you can basically all team up to destroy Jimmy and I in every game of EDH.
Yeah, and let us know what your travel plans are, because if everyone's like, oh, no, I'm not coming until Friday, we know, we, of course, everything's tentative right now. So we are waiting to hear back from you guys about who's going to be in Vegas, when you guys are going to be there, all that important stuff. Because, yeah. I mean, obviously some people have work and stuff, so they can't make it in that early. Who knows?
True. And please email us, commandcast@rocketjump.com, and let us know if you're planning to be there that Thursday night. Because we're going to try and get a venue, and we're going to try and, you know, I'm not envisioning this being hundreds of people, but we might have somewhere in the nature of 40 people.
Yeah.
And we want to know what that number is going to look like so that we can have a space that's going to accommodate everybody and allow us, you know, the time and
probably
the space.
Probably make a Facebook event or something for it as well.
Yeah. So as we get closer, we just want to get an idea of that number. So if you know you're going to be there for sure, let us know. And if you're on the fence, I don't know why you're on the fence. Get off the fence and get your ticket to Vegas.
Yeah. The fence is not a comfy place to be. Come to Vegas.
It's pointy.
Yeah, and honestly, like, most people come to Vegas and lose abundant amounts of money. We're, and Magic is giving you a chance to come to Vegas and win stuff without really that much monetary investment. You know, you'll pay to play in the main event at GP Vegas, but the chances of you actually opening something that's worth a bunch of money is really high.
I'm gonna lose. Really high. I'm gonna lose a lot of money in Vegas. I just want to put that out there right now.
Yeah, actually, me and Josh.
Because there are still craps tables.
There are still craps tables. I forgot who I was talking to the other day, but they're like, "Oh yeah, we're definitely going to Vegas." Oh right, we're talking to Wes and our good friend Brian Tran.
Oh yeah, a bunch of our friends from Riot who make League of Legends will be there too. Yep.
So it's gonna be a blast. We're gonna gamble. Craig is just sitting here stroking his beard, being like, oh, "Gosh, guys, can you stop?"
It's not too late.
Can we just move on?
Not
to
too
next?
Late.
Yeah, have your come to Vegas with your girlfriend. Be like, it's a trip for the both of us.
I'll teach you how to play Magic. Doesn't that sound awesome?
You know, it's like, here, go.
You should see the face Craig's making right now.
Open
I'll
a foiled,
have to play at deals or something. I mean,
open a foil Tarmogoyf and sell
plans.
It and then be like, honey, you can go to the outlets. It's all yours.
Yeah, she'd love that.
See, there you go.
It might just cost you a couple $100. Here you go.
Yeah.
That's worth it.
It's worth it. I'll chip in $20 to the Craig Blanchett to Vegas fund.
I'm in for 20.
I'm in for 30.
Wait, what is this, an auction?
We're slowly building up until Craig's just like, all right, so tonight I just somehow earned $1,000.
I'm
going to
go home and be like, sweetheart, it worked.
It worked.
Oh my God, sweetheart. Cha-ching. They gave me $1,000. We're going to Vegas, babe.
Yeah. That escalated quickly.
I can't wait.
Before we get into the main topic, I want to give a special shout out to one of our listeners, Jack Landis. Landis? I think it's Landis.
Jack lands in front?
Jack, L-A-N-D-E-S. Landis, I think.
Landis,
yeah. The son of Eric Landis, who is Proggy Boog on Twitter. I think Eric has won a prize at something before, because I remember
so.
That Twitter handle.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jack... I'm told when he gets in the car with his dad, he asks for the command zone to be played.
Yes, that's
Jack,
so great.
Jack, you rule.
You're a champion, buddy.
And also, you have impeccable taste.
Yes.
Yes.
Fine taste.
Fine taste. I also want to congratulate you, Jack, because I heard that you recently played in an SCG IQ, and you went 3-3.
3-3. That's better than I usually do.
Yeah, and he's 8.5 years old.
Wait, what?
He's 8.5 years old. So he's already a Magic prodigy.
Getting one win at 8 years
you
old.
You should see the look
of.
That Craig's giving. Are you? He's like, are you serious?
I'm like calculating in my head. I'm like, is that four times as young as me? Is that like a quarter my age? Like,
and
oh
he
my
also
God.
And he has when a better
was,
record than
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Jeez, when I was 8, I was like putting pebbles in my nose.
I don't think I
could
have done the math
there.
To actually play Magic at that point. Like,
right.
At 8.5 years old, I think I would have been like, you know, what if a 3-5 attacks into my 4-4, I wouldn't know how to figure that out
yeah.
at that age.
And like, I'm assuming Jack's playing around like things like Dromoka's commands and stuff. And,
his dad's
and,
in a picture, and I mean, he's playing against all guys in their 30s or late 20s. I mean, and he went even money. Like, good job, Jack.
Yeah.
That means next year or the
I
year after, he's going to win the thing.
He's just like, he's like playing the like draw two cards, and he's just like, I draw two cards, and I do this, and then I do this.
Yeah,
like,
I hope so too. I mean, I think it's, I don't know. I mean, this could just be me speaking, but it's kind of intimidating to sit down in front of someone that is much younger than you that's playing, because they could be that person that is just very good, and you're going to get your butt handed to you if you're not playing right, you know, if you're not really focused. And I mean, that's how I lost to Mono Red in the first round of GP LA, and it was against, the kid must have been 14 or 13, but afterwards I was like, oh.
It's very humbling.
It is. Indeed.
It's extremely humbling to be taken down by someone
when
who's
I was
like
that age,
not
I was,
outside of high school.
I was such an idiot when I was that age. I wasn't doing anything. I didn't know interactions. I didn't. I like. I'm assuming Jack, I mean, has to know, like, you know, the breadth of what's in standard right now and stuff, which is really impressive. So kudos to you, Jack. 3-3 is nothing to scoff at. I went 1-5 at GPLA, and I'm about 3.5 times your age. So yeah, there goes my hopes of being a pro.
Also, his dad tells me that Jack's favorite commander right now is Tristani.
Tristani. Oh,
so we Celestia. We talked about Celestia last episode. Probably a token deck. Pretty cool.
Yeah,
pretty cool, Jack. I like your choice.
I do too.
Although it doesn't have blue in it. So I just think moving forward, Jack, take a closer look at blue. It's pretty cool.
when he turns 9, he'll get into blue.
Yeah, exactly. All right, on to the main topic today. It is EDH etiquette or EDH-iquette, however you want to say
it. It's going to look better on screen than when you say it out
yeah,
loud.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. This is a big one.
Yeah, this is one of those...
We could spend 8 episodes on it.
Yeah, and it's something that comes up all the time. It's like one of those things that's a source of like confusion or frustration for a lot of people when they first get into EDH, and a lot of people who have played it for a while too. So etiquette is defined as the customary code of polite behavior in society or among a particular profession or group.
This group is Magic the Gathering EDH players.
Correct, which is a it's a tough one to nail down at best.
Yeah. It's also constantly changing, and it's based on the people, the culture, the customs.
The new cards that come out.
The new yeah, so much.
It's,
so much.
It's really hard to pin down what this is. We're going to talk about it in broad terms. I think let's just start by listing some of the things in EDH that sort of cause confusion or disagreement or just plain make people upset from a etiquette standpoint.
Oh yeah, it's seen as a breach of etiquette / trust / something.
Right. Now we're going to go through this list, and I don't want you to think that we're endorsing or saying that any of these things are or are not bad etiquette. We're just pointing out things that some people, you know, have said in the past could be or are bad etiquette or bad form.
Yeah.
It's really, that's one of the things about this subject matter, is it's really tough to say this thing is bad etiquette. It's like, some people think it's not. Some people think it is. It's just
in the right play groups, it could be bad etiquette to consider it bad etiquette.
Exactly. In our play group, I think a lot of people have noticed this, is very, we don't have a lot of things we consider off limits.
Yeah.
You know, so, but a lot of play groups we hear from are like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that they don't like,
you
and
still
that people
allow
get mad.
Sarah Ascendant? It's like, yeah.
So let's just go down, and we'll go down the list quickly. There's a lot.
Yeah, we'll just mention a little bit about each, so we don't spend too much time on this part.
So land destruction.
Yep.
Especially mass land destruction. That's obviously one. Infinite combos. Especially 2-card infinite combos. That's one that people really complain about.
Or Kiki Jiki / Pestermite kind of thing.
Yep. Just very fast kills. So decks that can sort of kill you before turn 6 or so. Mm-hmm. So,
but
Craig,
what
like
else,
Infect?
What besides Infect would do something like that?
There's combos you can pull off before then that aren't infinite, or there's, you know, a Sarah Ascendant can very easily do that.
Yep, Sarah Ascendant with a sword on it.
Yep, just hits you 4 times or 3 times and you're dead. That kind of stuff. Mass hand destruction.
Yes, so discard effects, just cycling.
Stuff that just makes everybody discard their entire hand.
I feel like discarding, you know, because I think there's a difference between like hand destruction and hand cycling. You know, you like to play hand cycling a lot, which I think is very acceptable.
No. Yeah, I think anything that makes it so that most people don't have any cards in their hand, that's hand destruction.
Yeah.
And so that's not fun for a lot of people. You'll notice a lot of these things on the list just fall into the unfun category. But
The unfun category specifically being, they stopped me from being able to play the game of Magic.
Right.
By wrecking my lands, wrecking my hand, killing me so early I couldn't do anything, going infinite.
Another one is mass counterspells.
Tower on the Sky Summoner.
Yeah, I know our friend D really hates counterspells in general. He just doesn't like that they exist, period. But definitely decks that their whole goal is to just counter everything.
Yeah, and be the just straight control.
Some people don't like that. Tutors. I mean, we heard from Sheldon Menry, the godfather of the format, that he doesn't like tutors in the format. So that's
what's
definitely,
there not to like, folks?
So that's definitely something. And again, that underscores the point that it's a moving target, because even Sheldon says a certain amount is okay.
Yeah.
But what's that number? Is it 3? Is it 4? Is it 5? Is it 6? I mean, once we're sort of horse trading at that point, right?
We agree. I feel like those are the most acceptable, because it's such a not inconsistent format that you need those tutors to be able
to... Well, right. But I mean, I'm not saying whether we...
Well, some people might be like, hey, you could afford a demonic tutor and a vampiric tutor and an imperial recruiter, and I'm stuck with the precon. You know, some people, it's the power level for some people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not endorsing whether this is bad etiquette or not. I'm just saying there are some people that think that it is.
Yeah.
This is a big one. Just turns taking too long.
I will endorse this as bad etiquette because you should be playing faster. Come on, guys. Come on. Practice at home.
It's just something people complain about, especially in bigger groups where, you know, if you normally play with four or five people, then just if everyone takes 2 minutes on their turn, then that can be almost 10 minutes before it's your turn again.
Yeah. I've had times where I just play another game on my phone when side pass. I'm like, well, I'm not going to do anything. I'm tapped out.
Just bad threat assessment. This is a complaint we get a lot, which is just like, oh, the other players at the table, they don't understand what the threats they need to kill are. And that frustrates people. You know, it's kind of reminds me of people that sort of get really, they complain a lot when the people playing next to them in blackjack, like, don't play it how they want them to.
Oh, you know, interesting.
It's like, well, yeah,
it's
but
like, why didn't you hit, man? You made me bust. Yeah. It's like, whoa, hold on.
Hold on. I'm putting my money down. I can play the game however I want. Yeah. Like, I can hit on a 20 if I feel like it, man. It's my 10 bucks. It's not yours. You want to put the 10 bucks out there, then you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, it's true.
Teaming up.
Yeah.
Some people don't like, well, this falls into a couple categories. One is just teaming up before, agreements to team up before you even start the game. And a lot of times you'll see this when, like, good friends are playing together. So, like,
they're natural allies, right?
And they'll just always ally up, and you just know. I mean, we've seen this in our group sometimes with certain people where you just know they're going to be on a team because they're just friendly with another.
Yeah.
Where it's like, sometimes good friends fight each other, like you and Craig. I know you're most likely going to fight each other because that's
me,
you're antagonistic.
Kessler too.
Yeah,
right? That's hilarious.
So much hate.
We just have such a storied history, Craig, that when I play you and it's not one-on-one, I'm like, I just may as well make this a one-on-one game.
I'm still going to attack Craig for that.
I'm fine with that. I just want to see something
happen. So is Josh,
happen.
Trust me.
I just want to play my hands. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's a point that we're going to come back to in this over and over with this etiquette is, we just want to play. The reason that we want to play is we want to play our decks that we created that we've spent so much time and effort on.
And money.
So
can't forget that part.
So teaming up can also be, though, some people just don't even like the political aspect of the game where they get teamed up on even if the agreement's made during the game for reasons inside the game.
Spikes don't like this sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, and that's another thing. If people are just known as good Magic players, then sometimes they'll get teamed up on because the other players at the table are like, well, that guy's the best player. He plays in GPs and stuff, and we're just kitchen table players, so we better...
call it the Kessler effect, because we have one player that had more experience than the rest of us. And
when we first started playing, Kessler was the guy we would always team up to get because he was just better at Magic than us.
Even
and here's the thing.
He could have
drawn
seven lands, and we still would have done
you look directly at their hand, and you're like, how many cards do they have? Well, they know how to use a bunch of different cards that I never saw, like how they were using them before.
I better just attack them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep. It's better safe than sorry.
Some people don't like metagaming, which is the idea that I'm using information from previous games or outside the game to affect the game or decisions within the game. Some people think that should be out of bounds.
We talked about that in our last week's episode, in our call of tricks and tips.
Yep. Some people don't like pure chaos type effects or what they call troll cards. So like Warp World is one of these. I know, Craig, you're not a big fan of Warp World.
I just don't like Warp World because of the time that it takes. With the same thing with Hive Mind, you know, which getting back to that, I just want to play my turn. I don't want to shuffle all my stuff in and then count how many permanents I had and cycle out, you know, and take 20 minutes to do that for everybody.
So we know which side of the fence you're on as far as that being bad etiquette.
Yeah. Some people just don't like chaos too because it's like, I had a plan and you ruined it.
Yep.
It's like, well, I mean, plans always get ruined in Magic.
Here's a big one. Decks that are just too powerful, quote unquote. You know, we hear this a lot. People email us all the time going like, my playgroup is mad about this particular deck. I have a Jaleva deck, or I have a Rafik deck, or I have a Memnarch deck, and it's too powerful and they've asked me to stop playing it. What do I do about that? So that's another thing people can consider bad etiquette. Use of proxies.
Wow, we've gotten a lot of actually emails about proxies recently.
A whole ton, because we talked about it on the Trading Up episode.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of different ideas about what should be allowed as far as proxies. And that's a thing that people can get kind of salty about as far as if you have a lot of proxies in your deck. Or some people have a weird sliding scale where they're like, proxies are fine, but if the card is this expensive, then it's not, and blah, blah, blah. It gets pretty crazy. Infect, your favorite, Craig. A lot of people just don't like it at all. They don't think that the 10 infect or poison counters is correct in EDH, and they think that's kind of broken.
It should be 15 or 20.
We had Sheldon on
the life total.
20
you know.
Is just like...
That's untenable.
Like, the people who say that, they have no idea what they're talking about. They've clearly never played Infect before. But I mean, even
but they did
15,
play against it, and they died, and they think it should
even
be
15.
Now.
It's like, you know, it's 10 for a reason. If your whole goal is to infect somebody, the creatures are so small that you need to pump or, you know, equip them with something so large that to get them to be able to kill somebody and not have all your creatures die or not be the target right. of the hate immediately is impossible.
Great. So this we're is laughing because you're just spewing off. Listen, I'm just saying some people don't like it.
Yeah. Either way, it should stay. Craig, it should stay at 10. I could see 1v1. That
in case it was unclear,
is,
Craig likes it.
Yeah. Craig's just, a fan.
That's the moral.
A
of that story.
A fan of the
we're
mechanic.
Just like you go, Craig. You go, tell Craig, him, man. Yeah. You tell him. Good luck with that.
So come on, guys. It's really fair. Everyone just kill Craig right now. I don't want us. You know what? We can band together because I don't want to get infected by this. This evilness.
And you know the reason that I say that is because like next turn I'd be like, and
you're dead.
You're dead.
You
yeah.
three
yeah.
are dead, and now it's just me versus this one. Last person.
Yeah, and it doesn't even matter if you win against that person.
You're
the
just
fact
so
that
happy.
You got everyone else at, yeah. You're infected with happiness. That's why you love infect.
The next one is Tuck.
Yeah.
So this was a thing that evidently people were considering bad etiquette or bad form, and you know that actually was considered bad etiquette to the point where it got banned. So that is on the list just like the other stuff. Oh, here's a good one. Stasis, lockdown effects.
Right.
Stuff like winter orb, static orb. People do not like that stuff that just basically makes it very hard for you to play your cards.
Yeah, even like stuff like propaganda is considered stasis in a little bit, you know, force yeah, people not
I,
to be able
I feel
to attack
like,
you.
Yeah, I feel like that's not as hated because you can still attack, just not that
true.
Person.
Yeah.
But anything that just says, hey, you can't use your creatures at all, like humility, people, mm-hmm. some people don't yeah. like that type of stuff.
Blood Moon for you.
Yeah, I would put that under this next category, which is playing stuff that is unfun or mean.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the word mean is really important because that is a word that goes from, it could be any card, really.
Yeah, I think Iona is the best case of this. So Iona is just a creature that when she comes out, you name a color, and then nobody can cast spells, or sorry, your opponents can't
yeah.
cast spells of the chosen color. So you can just totally, like somebody's playing a mono red deck, if you cast Iona naming red, you can turn off that entire deck.
Yeah, except for their artifacts.
Yeah.
It's just really kind of sucky.
Blood Moon is another one that just, kills all it turns all non-basic lands into mountains that can turn off all every five color deck I've got. Mm-hmm. Nevermore is another one in that category where
yeah
when you play there's
meddling mage
there's
yeah.
a few things Chris with this Piccolo. Type of effect where you basically name a card when you put this card into play and the named card can't be played, so you can just name their general and they can't cast it until they get rid of the Nevermore, which is an enchantment again against mono red.
Yeah,
they might not have a single enchantment removal card or just Chaos Warp and that's it.
And they're just hoping to draw it.
Contamination, yep. kind of the same thing as yeah. like, right. nobody can cast anything if they're not playing black.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and then, I like this one, Craig, you added, which is just personal etiquette at the table. So, also what's considered bad etiquette, and I think everyone would agree, is mm-hmm. just like abusive language.
Bullying,
getting
life.
Personal with it. This is stuff that's outside yeah. of the game, not inside the game. You know, threatening to do something physical to somebody would be that.
We understand that, you know, your play groups, especially in card shops and whatnot, can be very varied. And there's a lot of different personalities that are out there that, you know, usually the best case scenario is just let everybody breathe. And it's not worth, you know, working yourself up over it or anything like that.
Yeah.
Don't let your feelings get hurt if somebody's, you know, picking on you or something like that. Just remember that it's a game. Try and remind them that it's a game and get back to having fun. It's all
if
about
you're
the
good
fun.
LGS too, the people that work and own the store will also help enforce the good etiquette, have fun.
Yeah, and I don't want people to be scared to go to LGSs and play. I mean, we've done it a lot and I've seen it very rarely. I mean, it happens, but I don't know if it happens
really.
All the time. Yeah, and usually people are quick to rush to the aid of the person and point out like, hey, dude, that's out of line.
And
yeah,
it's a group know. Setting. So, yeah. I mean, typically Magic players are very intuitive people that have, you know, probably gone through some getting picked on themselves when they were younger for playing
well,
Magic. So
the thing is, any game you play, that's going to happen sometimes. You know, poker, that happens. You play pick up basketball mm-hmm. at the gym down the street. Every once in a while, there's going to be a little tussle. Some people, like, that's just a nature of games. Some people aren't good at, you know, compartmentalizing or handling the competition. And, you know, that's usually a problem with the person and not a problem with the game. But it is bad etiquette. So it does definitely right. belong on the list. Okay, so that's the list of stuff. And it's not comprehensive. I mean, there's probably a whole bunch more things you could put on there. But But that demonstrates, because how long was that list?
So long. That's like half the outline is just talking about what people can consider bad.
That's like 20 things off the top of our head that are bad, you know, that we've heard complaints about, you know, being bad etiquette, or maybe it's bad etiquette, or what should I do?
And almost all of them are subjective.
Yeah. And so what's that tell you? Holy crap. This is a really, really hard issue to nail down and to say, you know, we're not going to be able to say at the end of this episode, okay, this is bad etiquette and this is not, you know, you can't define it.
Yeah.
The nature of it is that each person's going to be so different, and each person's going to have a view on each of these little things, and they're going to each be different. I mean, we're going to talk about this really quick. I mean, between us, and we're going to have different opinions and we play in the same playgroup, and our playgroup is great. There's not a lot of complaining. All these complaints I've heard from a lot of other playgroups, you know, we don't have. I've never heard anybody say, hey, can you not play that deck again? It's too powerful. Or, hey, that combo is, you know, maybe we've heard slight little things from one person in our playgroup, but in general, we don't have those same complaints. We're tolerant of
it. Yeah.
So,
or just used to it, sadly. It's like, the abuse is real.
So, I mean, let's talk really quick. So we just went through this list. What is some of the stuff on the list that we talked about that you guys think is totally fine? Like, is not.
Not fine?
No, is fine. Is not fine. Bad etiquette. Like,
I'm fine with infinite combos because there are so many ways, once you learn, get a little deeper into the game, how to stop them.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many ways to do it. Instant speeds, it's a lot of stuff. Like, even just like a Croson grip, you know, something with split second. You know, you find the little edges and stuff, and, you know, as you start getting hit with more infinite combos, you start growing to be a better player. Not necessarily a spikier player by any means, but just a better player, because now you need to hold back that one card that you may have played out earlier in previous games, because you've seen something now that makes you understand that, oh, okay, I need to sandbag this for something in the, you know, like a Rakdos Charm or something.
Right.
Or switch out that Super Timmy card that you have for that, you know,
It's like the one second. You never resolved anyway.
Because Magic is about like building your deck and responding to stuff, and it you shouldn't make the assumption that like I'm not going to have to deal with my opponent's deck at all.
Yeah,
you know, you should be under the assumption that like I'm going to have ways in my deck to deal with what they're going to try to do.
Right,
that's what Magic is. It's a strategy game. So if you don't want punch and counterpunch, then I'm not sure exactly why you're playing.
It's true. But I can understand why people don't like infinite combos. I think it's very restrictive for anyone that's a new player to the game to be like, and I go infinite. Because the first time that happened to me, I immediately would jump back on the defensive and went, whoa, hold on, stop. How?
Yeah,
you know,
it feels...
Explain every bit to me. And
it
then,
feels a little cheating.
Yeah, and I didn't get it at first because the interactions was like, wait, what do you mean you can tap this to do this, et cetera, et cetera. And when it happened, and I was a little bit in shock at first, and then I realized like, oh, okay, this, I believe, is just a regular part of the game considering it's a format that plays almost every card from the history of Magic.
Well, and I think too, like, here's a little bit of advice to the people that go infinite and get that response. One is, you might have picked a bad spot to do it. You know, we hear this story a lot. We were on Brainstorm Brewery, and Corbin was talking about how he's playing with a couple of new players, and he did something, I think, I don't know if it was infinite or not, but he won on 12th on turn 13 or 14 or something.
Right.
And they were a little upset with the way it happened. I assume it was an infinite combo or something similar that happened. And, you know, if you're playing with new players and your goal is to get the new players to like the game, maybe you don't go infinite against them.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you just don't play that card that can go infinite.
Or
now,
it's not that deck.
If I'm playing with you guys and Jimmy puts out Kiki Jiki and Zealous Conscripts, we're like, cool, shuffle up, let's play again. We've played a million games of Magic, but if you've only played two games of Magic and that's your second one and somebody does that, then you don't have the perspective maybe to handle it. The other way to play it is, after you do it, explain to them what happened and then just be like, hey, okay, so here's the things to watch out for and here's how you maybe stop it. And, you know, you let Niv-Mizzet sit out there for five turns.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's just a bad idea in general. When you chose to kill these other two creatures, which are good creatures, but they're not going to go infinite in any time.
Yeah.
And, you know, that
sort of
might be a way.
Putting the power back in the player's hand as opposed to saying, like, no, you can't do anything about infinite. Sorry, bud. You know.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, you know, I don't think the etiquette is whether or not you go infinite. It's how you handle it when you do and how you pick your spot to do it.
Yeah. Oh, also, before we get too deep into this list, I feel like some people may have the impression that we're just a play group that says, oh, everything's fine. No worries. You should just play like everything's fine, because that's just, you know, how smart people do it. And it's definitely not the case. There are things that we all have, you know, we all have our own threshold for like, this is cool, this is not cool. But in general, I'd say we are more on the side of, it's okay, just shuffle up and play another game.
I think we are more towards that. And I think listen.
It's not like a fanatical devotion towards that, but I feel like it comes from, I mean, you spend a lot of time in Hawaii. We grew up in the Pacific Northwest. We're
more laid
relaxed
back.
And laid back.
I don't know
yeah?
if it's that. This is how I learned to play games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also my philosophy of life, which is that I want to have the power. And if
the power is yours, Josh.
But I want to have the power over myself. I don't want to give it away to somebody else. So if something bad happens, if I throw up my arms and go, well, that's ridiculous, that's saying I can do nothing about it. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to live in the world where I can't affect it. I want to live in the world where I can affect things. So when something happens, anything in life, my first thought is like, okay, what did I do? And what can I do differently mm-hmm. that changes that equation? And if you go through life that way, I feel like you're going to have a lot more happiness and success because you have power to affect things and to do things. And you know what? As you start thinking in that manner about everything in life, you start realizing, oh, you know, yeah, this thing happened, but I did this, or I if I didn't do this, then maybe it wouldn't have. And you can start like taking control rather than just being caught in this maelstrom of random things that can happen to you in life. Like, you know, and it doesn't mean that you can't blame other people or other things for happening and some things aren't out of your control. That's not it at all. It's just how can you be aware of it and take responsibility.
Yeah. Shoot for the stars. Shoot for the moon.
We live in this society where we don't like to take responsibility. We like to sue over everything. We like to blame somebody. You know, if something happens, mm-hmm. we want to blame people. Like,
are we still talking about infinite combos?
Yeah. I'm just philosophically, I am very opposed to the idea of giving that power away and saying there's nothing I can do about it. And that's what I feel like a lot of people say when they go, please don't play that commander. It's too powerful. Oh, yeah? Why don't I just build my deck so I can beat that commander? Please don't play that infinite combo. It's too much. I can't stop it. Oh, yeah?
Counterspell.
Exactly. Yeah. Why don't I build a deck that can beat that?
Yeah, Magic is all about being proactive, too. And it's true. This does, I mean, I think partially being in Los Angeles also helps reinforce the idea that, you know, because you're kind of your own brand and your own business out here. And you don't have, you know, like a nice guardian spirit looking after you at all times. And sometimes, you know, you have to realize that you have to fend for yourself. And I think that does feed into the same idea in Magic is that, you know, it's your cards, it's your untapped mana, it's what you are able to affect the board with or do in response to something. I think the words in response is the most important thing here because whenever anything happens, it's very rarely that it's just straight up you can't do anything about it. You know, there's almost always an opening somewhere, and that's what Magic is about. It's about finding that and, you know,
there's always a card
or stopping someone
that they've printed that will answer a certain situation. They
haven't
made a situation that's on.
I mean, they banned the cards where that's not the case.
Right. Sure. The only thing that I could think of right now that you can't really get rid of is like an emblem from a planeswalker. And I think they purposely made it that way.
Yeah, because it's almost impossible to get there in the first place, right? Yeah. And even then, most times it doesn't necessarily even end the game still. You know?
Infinite combos, there's plenty of spot removal in every color to be able to address those, especially now, like we were talking about last episode with the green stuff. Now even green has things to answer, you know, those. Even
and you can run fight cards.
Be.
You know, people are like, oh, those cards are bad, but there are instant speed fight cards you could run.
Yep.
You're not. So, you know, in some respect, like, don't complain to me that they did an infinite combo with Niv-Mizzet just because you refused to run the cards that would stop it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so that's... You don't have to put it in those terms, but you can gently sort of explain to people like, okay, the game is built so you can stop these things.
Yeah, the game is also built that you can talk to the people and find the happy medium. Because if there is one player that's all about going infinite and you find it's just an arms race, then yeah, guess what? This is a social game. You have that aspect of it as well to address and, you know, find your happiness, your happy spot within it, you know, for the group.
So I think this conversation really applies to almost everything I see on this list of stuff that we think is not bad etiquette, but some people do, like... Very fast kills, mass counterspells, tutors, chaotic cards, decks that are quote-unquote too powerful, infect, tuck. You know, this is all stuff that we put down. Is there anything I just talked about that you guys think is actually bad etiquette?
I think mass land destruction can be.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Oh, you're right. It's not on there. Haha. Well, in that case.
Wait, that's bad form?
Yeah. Do you think is there anything?
Any
that,
of the stuff I just said, do you think it is bad form?
Not personally, no. I mean, most of those things are pretty good. I would say the only one that would be like...
Borderline
would be like chaos or trolling cards, depending on, you know, if you're trolling...
The level of
the troll, and if you're targeting one person or whatnot. If you're being a bully, then that's obviously not good etiquette.
Well, mass counter, too, kind of.
Chaos stuff by nature cannot bully one player because you can't control it.
Yeah, absolutely. The chaos stuff not, but the, you know, the
mass
trolling,
counter can be the trolling cards, or if it's like too targeted. I mean, if someone's just taking out the personal vengeance or just being mean in real life, then it's not the cards they're playing, it's the person itself.
Yeah. Again, I don't think that's got anything to do with cards, and has everything to do with you know.
And the nice thing is that, like, look, let's say someone is giving you a really hard time at the table, they're bullying you, they're making sure that you can't play your commander because they think it's too powerful for whatever reason, and it's making the game unfun. Well, fortunately for you, that game is just an hour of your life. It's not something that is going to follow you from game to game, this person that, you know, does these terrible things to you. And so, fortunately...
And you get to choose whether you sit down and play with them again, and you're perfectly within your rights to be like, that person's not fun to play with, you know, so I'm just not going to.
Yeah, it's a choice you can make and be proactive about. Yeah, that's true.
So let's talk about some of the stuff that we think is bad form. So you mentioned earlier.
Mass land destruction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, sometimes it's necessary, but I feel like, you know, what are you trying to do with land destruction, right? You're trying to make it so that you come out of it the best.
Right.
Right, is the whole point. The only thing is that when you're doing land destruction against someone that's not using their lands in like an evil or like, you know, a super powerful way, then you're just blowing up someone's lands and forcing them to not be able to play any more cards, you know. Especially if it's super late in the game, I feel like it can be less productive than the intended result, which is why I think it ends up being bad form. Because if it was like mass land destruction, everyone's like, oh, thank goodness, you know, this is gone and this is gone. Or if it's just, you know, that's great, but if it's just mass land destruction, then three people are like, oh.
Now we have 45 more minutes.
I'm just going to say draw, go, and then you two that somehow crawled out of this hole are going to have fun while the rest of us just sit here and draw, go until we can play again.
I'm not in the land destruction camp. I'm fine with it. I don't love it, obviously.
I'm fine with this.
That's no different
too.
Than if somebody plays a Blood Moon or somebody plays a Stasis. Yeah. Those are the same type of effects where it's like, I'm not doing much.
And you're probably okay. You're okay to just sit there and do nothing.
I mean, I don't love it. Don't get me wrong. But that's a part of the game, and it's the
but
same.
But you're more contented with that.
It's the same empowerment thing. And to me, I'm like, it's fine. They're doing that thing, and I'm probably going to lose this game, and it's probably going to take a little while. And it's like that's going to happen sometimes. Now, if somebody was playing a mass land destruction deck all the time, but it's still my fault, because why am I not playing a deck that literally counters the deck they're playing all the time?
Sure. Yes, you can, you can adjust your deck to...
You can make a deck that can beat mass land destruction.
Or why is your table not just hating them out each time?
Exactly.
When they play that? Yeah.
So if they're not playing it very often, then big deal. It's happening once in a while. Why am I mad about it? And if they're playing it all the time, then why the heck can't I beat the deck that I know they're playing every time? So I feel like either case, I'll put that into my own hands and I can deal with it. So to me, it's not that big a deal. But again, I grew up in an era where land destruction and mass land destruction, that's how we learned to play the game from the start.
Right.
So to me, I was just desensitized to it really early. So I understand why people don't like it. And as a result, I don't play. I think I have Armageddon in one deck.
Yeah.
And it's the Nekusar deck. And it literally is like Armageddon, go, you die, you die, you die. Everyone wants to shuffle up and play again. Like, it's not, I don't think I've ever played Armageddon where it's like, Armageddon, go.
See,
45 minutes later.
If that's the case, then that's much better.
But you can't make that rule because there's too much gray area. Is it okay if everybody dies after three turns?
Yeah.
Okay, four. Okay, five.
And getting back to the etiquette, it's like, you know, I think there's one question that everybody can ask themselves is, you know, is what I'm doing affecting other players in a negative way? You know, is everybody else not having as much fun because of something that I did?
And if
it's
so.
Yeah, you know, like I just want to, when I play, you know, we don't get to play that much, and I really want to play out my hand. I really want to play out like what my deck was meant to do. And if I'm stopped from doing that because, you know, of Iona or Ruination or Bad Moon or Contamination or something like that, or some sort of, you know, land destruction, not having any land to be able to do that, it makes it not as fun. Or, you know, if you don't have the cards in hand, you're just, I don't know, you're just sitting there not doing anything. But if it can lead to, okay, you know, infinite combo, I win, now let's shuffle up and play again, that's when I'm like, all right, cool, at least I'm engaged now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Josh, how do you feel about mass hand destruction?
Same.
Really?
Yeah, I'm...
What if it's like someone just going right at you being like, as soon as you draw a card in the Zumi Grave Robber, just discard it.
I mean, how's that different than them attacking me with Infect or attacking me with a big creature or anything like that? Like, that's just attacking on a slightly different axis, but unless that person's like being personal about it, but that has nothing to do with the hand destruction. It just has to do with the manner in which they're doing. Like, if they're like also saying personal things,
right?
You know, to antagonize me, or they're threatening me physically or something, like, but again, the cards aren't the problem, so I'm fine with it because I'm in the same camp, which is That's fine. Like,
see, I'd much rather be taken out through infect or damage with the big creature or something like that.
Why?
Because at least that way I can like go on my phone and not feel bad that I'm like.
Isn't that the same thing you can do if they destroy your hand or your land?
Well, I mean, then I'm just sitting at the table, just like waiting for my next turn. At least if I'm like out of the game.
If they kill you in turn four with infect, but you can do the same thing. If you have no cards, you can't make any decisions, so you can just play on your phone if you want to.
Yeah.
It's the same as being dead or knocked out of the game early. That's why I don't understand why people get so mad about land destruction. It's just like, if they had killed you, you wouldn't be as mad, you say. But that you're in the same position.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not playing.
Yes and no. Like, semi-arguably no. Because, like, you know, if you're still in the game, then there's still, like, you still have a land drop and stuff like that. You're still somewhat tied to that game. But if they kill you, you know, let me take it back to, like, when I was at the card shop. Then I could hop on my, like, you know, PSP and, like, play whatever game I was playing, which I could still do at the table, or I could start up another, like, standard game with the other guy who got kicked out or something like that. Or, you know, there was always something else to do. Whereas if you're, you know, if you're...
I just think getting knocked out on turn four or five with infect, which I'm fine with, and something you particularly like to do, so it feels hypocritical to me. And I'm
fair.
I'm,
absolutely
and
fair.
Everybody's open to the... Everybody can have their opinion. I'm just saying, like, to me,
you're
100% those are
right. Yeah, yeah.
To me, there's an analog there, and I'm fine with either. But it's interesting that you're not, because I don't actually understand the difference between having no hand and being knocked out of the game early. They both kind of suck, but they're both part of the game, and it's fine.
What breaks Josh Lee Kwai?
The next one.
Turns taking too long.
This is something that doesn't need to occur.
True.
You know, and within reason, I understand. But when somebody takes a long time all the time, mm-hmm. or everybody's taking a long time, that can get annoying. And if they're new, again, granted, then you get extra leeway because you're new to the game. And if we don't give new players extra leeway, then we're actively trying to stop them from liking the game, which seems really stupid, which it extends into infinite combos and those other things we talked about earlier. But just taking too long for, like, weird reasons. We played the other night. And I won't name names, but we were playing with a couple of guys and they were a little bit slower to the point where, like, I was like trying to tutor during their turns, like worldly tutor during their turns just to speed things up. And they're literally stopping play to wait till I am done tutoring so that I don't somehow cheat and pull out a card that is in response
to
something that
right.
they, and it's like, I'm trying to speed up the game and it's, you're actively slowing it down even more. So, you know, that was just slightly annoying. And again, that's not to the point where I'm like, I'll never play with those guys again. I like those guys. I'll play with them again. And I'll just be like more tolerant of stuff that slightly annoys me. Because mm-hmm. if we were all just a little more tolerant of stuff that slightly annoys us, then no, we wouldn't get a million emails about what do I do about this guy or that guy, you know?
Now, what do you think about something tied to that, but, you know, similar but not the same? People who missed a trigger last turn, but now they want to go back and activate that trigger or something
like
that.
Yeah, too late. I think if it requires everyone to stop and look at you and go, then that's a no-no. Like, if you miss a trigger and it's something that you need to keep track of, then you should probably make sure that you do it. Otherwise, just let it slip by. If
I
you
just
have to
want
retroactively go back and change that much stuff, then it's not worth it.
I just want consistency. Mm-hmm. So whatever your group does, just do that all the time so everybody
right.
knows. So either allow it or don't allow it. But don't allow it sometimes and then sometimes not. And then you just make arbitrary rules like, oh, well, that was one whole turn pass before you were one, so you can't do it now. But, yo, you caught it before he drew his card, so it's fine. It's like you can't just make it up on the spot. So just have an agreement. The first couple times it happens, just stop and go, okay, it's fine if we allow this stuff. What are we allowing?
Or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
What's the rule that allows us? And, you know, I am all for being understandable. We all do it sometimes. Like, oh, crap, I forgot to draw that card. And it's like, fine. You know, whereas if it's like a whole rotation of the table, you know, we've had ones where it's like somebody read a card slightly wrong. And like two turns went by and they're looking at it like, hey, this says power less than, not power less than or equal to.
Right. That happened with you in Profaner of the Dead, actually.
And it's just like, oh, whatever, man. You won that game. It's fine. I'm not going to go. Like, it's just stupid. Like, it's not worth it when you're playing with friends and there's no prizes on the line to get too worked up about that stuff.
Right.
You know, hopefully you're playing to have fun with your friends and you'd be having just as much fun playing, you know, League of Legends or something else, in which case none of that stuff would come up. So why are you getting so worked up about a missed trigger or mm-hmm. a misread card? So I'm mostly fine with that stuff.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
It's interesting. Craig, you put this down on the list, right? You put the things under it. Blood Moon, Ruination, Iona, Contamination. You put that. You do think those are bad?
I think that they're so. I play with a lot of those.
I know. That's right.
I absolutely Iona do.
Josh, is
that but
go?
You know, and this is the hypocritical part of me is that when they get played on me when I'm playing a monocolored deck, it sucks. And you know, there's I don't know. It all just goes back to I just want to play my stuff, and if I can't, then it's just not the same experience to me. But I do understand that they're a valuable part of certain strategies, and you know, they're great lockdowns to be able to make sure that you know the spiky players can win when they can.
See, that I don't like that because I don't like just labeling people because they play a Blood Moon. Which, by the way, we all know.
Oh, of course not. I think Iona is the worst out of those.
But and I don't.
Blood
I don't...
Moon is the most okay out of those because the Blood Moon, all you have to do is just not run so many non-basics.
Right. Iona, all you have to do is run more colors.
True, but I mean,
even
if you
then,
have...
Iona, if you're a two-color deck, Iona is still such.
No, because
like
your other color should be able to kill her.
Maybe. I mean, like,
what if your other color is green?
Song of the Dryads or a fight card, yeah, just like I was saying.
Yeah.
Desert Twister. Like, there's cards that can do it.
True.
And yeah, I'm just saying, I think Blood Moon is just as bad as Iona. Iona might be a little worse because monocolored decks completely hosed. But I don't like labeling people as spikes because they play them. Now, it's funny because I don't play a single one of those cards. I hate Blood Moon. Everybody knows it. But I don't think it's bad form to play it. Now,
I mean, if you're playing it for a legitimately good reason, like so-and-so is just going off and without stopping their...
How do you define legitimately good reason?
Well, I mean, it's true. I mean, it's all subjective again. I feel like Blood Moon, I mean, because I'm okay with it, because I do play it, obviously, so I have to be okay with it if someone plays it against me. Craig.
I'm a total hypocrite. Look, I hate Blood Moon when I'm playing, like, Carador or something, and I have all my non-basics.
But you don't think it's bad form?
No, of course not. I really don't. And, you know, if I'm playing, you know, a monocolored deck where I'm playing a lot of basic lands, I'm like, yeah, let that Blood Moon ride out. Like, let's see where this goes.
The moon has risen, folks. Down. Yeah.
I mean, what I try to do is meta them out, and we've talked about this. I just attack the person with Blood Moon, but it's not because I think it's bad form. I'm just actually trying to condition them or train them to know that, like, if you play that card,
this
I dislike it to the point where I'm just going to kamikaze you because I don't care if I win this game now. I actually need to, in the long run, teach you not to play Blood Moon, but I do not think it's bad etiquette because what am I doing there? I'm taking the power. I'm not saying it's something I can't deal with. It's the same philosophy. So there's almost no card you can play where I think it's bad etiquette.
True. I think the majority of the complaints that come about someone having bad etiquette is when it's just one game that happens to impact you a lot. Like one game that you're like, gosh, I really did not have a good time. And the fact that he just kept discarding all the cards in my hand constantly was just not fun. And I just don't want to ever feel that same way I did that time again. And I think that's where a lot of the feel bads come from.
But it's like, such a moving target because you could have a bad time in a game that wasn't like that because you're having a bad day because your boss yelled at you or, you know, you got in a fight with your wife or, you know, nothing's going to feel fun that day.
No,
so
typically it sucks to go and be like, I'm going to play a 1 hour game and then be sitting there for 30 minutes, like twiddling your thumbs.
But I'm just saying, like, if you judge whether something's bad etiquette based on whether you have fun or not, you can't even tell from day to day exactly what's going to be fun for you. So
yes,
so that's not true. A fair barometer. It's a pretty crappy barometer because it changes from day to day. So that's my point, is I don't like to judge etiquette.
I think what
somebody
is
else's
fair
etiquette based
is,
on how I'm feeling.
Like, you know, I think etiquette-wise, they're okay. But I think there is something that we should understand that they probably don't draw out the best emotions from people. And if people don't want to get you know, personal feelings involved with games, they may want to not play those as much. Or
yeah, if you're the kind of person that gets super salty over a multiplayer game, maybe EDH isn't the game for you, or maybe it just requires a little sort of rethinking your mentality towards this sort of.
And I think
stuff.
Like totally just deeper than that, like if you're playing a bunch of games with people and they start to not have as much fun or whatever, you know, it's going to affect that metagame in a long-lasting kind of way.
And I also guess
I think we're all intuitive enough to know that, like, look, don't play the Blood Moon deck like every time, you know, like switch it up with some other stuff and, you know, throw in some surprises every once in a while, like pop out Iona or something like that. But
well, I guess in the case of if you're the oppressor, then again, the power is also in your hands if you want to foster your playgroup and have people not, you know, have people want to actively contribute and keep playing EDH. Like, that is also in your power to make it more fun for everyone, or play in a way that it that at least evolves people through the steps. Because not everyone's going to be at, like, Josh's level for, yeah, everything's fine, in, you know, depending on the context or whatever. Like, not everyone's going to get to that level immediately. So, I mean, you're also a part of that equation if you're playing in a group and someone's like, hey, you're playing unfairly, et cetera, or, like, you're making it not fun, you know. Sure, maybe what you think you're doing isn't necessarily unfun, but it is also in your power to listen to what someone else is telling you and act up based off of that.
Yeah, I think that's really smart, which is, like, look around, see what the reaction is, pay attention. You know, it's not, like, because, like I'm saying all these things don't bug me. I'm also saying I don't use them because I know they bug other people. You know, that's the thing. Land destruction doesn't bother me. Do I play land destruction? No.
Yeah.
Blood Moon doesn't, you know, I don't like it, but it doesn't bother me. Do I play Blood Moon? No. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm okay with this stuff and therefore I'm using it. I'm saying I'm aware people don't like it. So that's fine. I meet them at that level because I want my friends to have fun playing the game. So that's something to pay attention to. And if you're the person in your playgroup that everyone's sort of groaning whenever you pull out certain decks or use, you know, then you need to, you know, you need to bring them to the level where they're okay with what you're playing, or you need to change it, or you need to change the people you're playing with. Because you're not going to tell somebody they like something when they don't. Like, what are you going to do? No, you like land destruction. Oh, I do? Yeah. Oh, okay. Like, that conversation is never going to happen.
Yeah.
So you either stop playing it or you find somebody else to play with.
Right.
You know, or you teach them, hey, okay,
this is manageable.
Infinite combo. I know you didn't like it. It felt weird. Here's how it worked. Here's some stuff to watch out for. You know, I've played against decks like this and this is how I beat them. You know, if it depends on social dynamic, if you can have that conversation in that way. But those are ways to sort of bring people along. And again, I would say very strongly, pay extremely close attention when playing with new players, because the goal really is to grow the game and keep the game growing. And when you're playing with new players, the rules should totally be different.
Yeah, and that's the best time for the highest dropout rate, if that makes sense. Like, the new player has the highest chance of saying nope and or yes, you know, of going in and continuing to play the game. So that's, you do have to be extra careful for good reason.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the last thing I would like to explore is just, when you see bad etiquette, like what we consider genuinely bad etiquette, how do you respond?
Fist to the face? No,
that was incorrect.
Right. That's
I mean, no
bing for me.
Yeah, that's the opposite of bing.
Do not punch anyone. I'm not endorsing that. Please don't.
Ever. For any reason, yeah, over a game, don't do it.
Yeah.
If you're that invested to the point, you need to look inward and say, what's wrong with me that I'm getting to that,
so worked up.
Yeah, that I'm getting to the point where I'm willing to do stuff like that over, you know, a card game. So what do you do?
Talk. Discussion. You're humans. We're built in to talk to other people. It's not an easy conversation, and it's never going to be an easy conversation, but it only gets easier the more you do it.
I 100% agree, and there's two important things, I think. Don't do it directly after the game when the thing happened.
Right. Fresh wounds.
Yep. It's just going to be too worked up. You're going to be mad. They're going to be defensive. That's not a good time to be having those conversations. Do it before play starts or at a time when you're not playing Magic and you're hanging out with that person.
Mm-hmm.
Also, be willing to meet them somewhere. You don't go into a conversation or negotiation of any kind and just give ultimatums. It's just not going to work. So if you go to somebody and go like, that deck's too powerful, you shouldn't play it. You're not leaving them anywhere to go.
Yeah.
So you need That's to true. Be willing to meet them at a certain point. Like, hey, man, that deck's a little too powerful. What can we do here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you help me figure out maybe how to beat it? Listen, if you have that conversation where you go up to somebody and go, man, that deck is really good. I have never beat it. I've never seen it beat. Can you help me? You're obviously really good at this game. You know what that'll do? Two things. One, you'll get some advice on how to beat it. Two, you're telling them their deck is too powerful and maybe not fun without getting in their face about it.
Yeah.
By complimenting them.
Yes, and it's just like the political thing we talked about a couple episodes ago, where you're actually using a positive thing to get your message across in a way that doesn't make them become defensive.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of people are like, yeah, I'll talk to them about it later, and then they have an ulterior motive when they talk to them, or they're still bitter about something, and they're carrying extra emotion. Like, you got to shed all that stuff if you're going to be able to have these conversations in a real, productive manner.
Yeah. All right. So time for the end step.
End step.
I have a cool one.
It's a cool one indeed.
Okay, so there's a short film I did with some friends. I directed and edited it. It was a long time ago now, 2007. We won the best, I think, horror suspense film at Comic-Con International Film Festival. We won a few other awards at various other film festivals, but the Comic-Con one's the coolest because Comic-Con's awesome. Yep. And it's called Eli, not to be confused with the name of our editor. It has nothing to do with him. But the movie is called Eli. It stars David Anders, who is on Alias. He was on Heroes, Vampire Diaries. He's now on iZombie, I think.
Mm-hmm. And The Revenant with Leo DiCaprio is filming right now up in Canada.
David's also from Oregon, the Pacific Northwest. Very cool guy. It's short. It's like 16 minutes long. And the news is that we just put it on iTunes. We just put it on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
It was on iTunes. We had a contract that ran out. So now we've got the ability to put it on YouTube. So for the first time ever, you don't have to pay $2.99 to watch it, which is why I haven't talked about it up till now. So the link will be in the show notes, or you can go on YouTube and just search Eli and David Josh. Anders or Eli Josh Lee Kwai.
Yeah.
Either one will work. And check it out. Hope you like it. That's my end step.
Yeah, I have to still watch it. I told you I was going to watch it before, right. But I was doing a lot of work.
It's okay. I live in LA. I'm used to people saying that they're going to read scripts or watch things and they never do.
Ah, yes.
Called out.
Called out. Don't do it, guys. Fulfill your promises. All right, cleanup step. GP Vegas. We talked about all the information earlier. May 28th is when we want to do the meetup. It's a Thursday before the weekend starts. Let us know if you're going. Let us know if that date works for you. And just be verbal and talk to us so that we can make sure we schedule the best event for the maximum number of our fans and friends.
Email us commandcast@rocketjump.com.
Mm-hmm. And make sure to check out the Masters of Modern, our sister podcast. They talk about all things modern in the format. Kessler is ungodly at predicting things. He predicted the battle for Zendikar almost a year ago now. He has predicted almost...
They did a whole show predicting what's going to be in Modern Masters 2015. So go listen to that and see if they're right.
Yep. Very well-spoken dudes. They know what they're talking about. Make sure you check them out. They're also on rocketjump.com/podcasts.
Craig, where can we find you on the worldwide interwebs?
At Craig Blanchett on Twitter.
Nice, nice. Craig, cool. Thanks again for being our continual guest, our number one superstar.
You are my number one guy. We haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, we haven't.
I missed it.
I think most people still don't even know where that's from. And we won't tell you.
It's from one of the 27
honestly,
Batman
that was,
movies.
That was kind of creepy. I have no idea what that was
what?
From.
And Jack Nicholson. Oh, my goodness. All right. Yeah. You have to.
You're
go
old
back.
Enough to know that.
I should. Yeah. Was that Batman or something?
Yeah, man. The first one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Before the nipple suits. And one final note before we sign off. There will be no new episodes next week. I have a super busy week. I'm going to be on a shoot for out of the 5 days, so I won't have any time to podcast. And we've sort of been going on, I guess, a marathon sesh with all these two-episode weeks. So we're taking a week off, and we're going to be back the week after that, back to your regularly scheduled programming. So thanks so much, guys, and we'll see you next time.
Peace.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter at JF Wong and at Josh Lee Kwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.